You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs.
Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. You feeling the sweat, Taylor?
I don't have air conditioning, so.
Oh, you are definitely feeling the sweat then. Well, every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. I would really love $7 billion. Even just like 700, but like 7 billion, that's a lot of goddamn money. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action.
Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm a pick to be named later.
Oh, boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, Taylor. Some good, some very, very, very bad. So to kick things off, the big boy is gone. The big boy era in Buffalo has ended for the beginning of a big boy era for another big boy on defense, which we'll get to in a minute. But I am, of course, talking about Rasmus Ristolainen being traded to the Philadelphia Flyers in what was an A-plus deal for Kevin Adams for his first real big trade of this new era post-Ralph Kruger. Rasmus Ristolainen was traded to the Philadelphia Flyers for the number 14, technically number 13 overall draft pick, which ended up becoming Isaac Rosen. And he also acquired defenseman Robert Hag and a 2023 second-round draft pick for just Rasmus Ristolainen. Last episode, we had talked about the expansion draft a bit and talked about the ramifications of a Ristolainen trade and what it meant for leaving Will Borgen unprotected. And I would say that 100% that was the right move, given what the eventual return was for a Ristolainen deal. Knocked it out of the park. Very, very great. Taylor, what is your early reaction to this deal?
Well, my thought is it's never the end of a big boy era. I think the good way to look at this is that it's the beginning of the Tage Thompson era. In terms of the big boy. There's an alpha big boy on every team, and right now you have to say it's Tage Thompson. We'll get to who might be eventually the alpha big boy in a second here. I think that it's interesting because we said, Brendan, I feel like this is actually a we're understating this because our podcast was not built on the Sabres. It wasn't built on pop culture. It wasn't built on Marvel or music or TV or whatever other weird jokes we made. Our podcast was built on talking about a different trade for Ristolainen every week for 2.5 years.
Yep.
And now what happened, and I can't actually believe that it was this good, because for so many years, this trade has been a theoretical from way before we won a Ristolainen trade. And we thought Ristolainen would be good, let's say 5 years ago. And there was a Ristolainen for Hall trade, and it was like, well, I mean, could we do that? You know, we're kind of set on we're kind of set on Ford, but, you know, Eichel and Reinhart and Kane and O'Reilly. So we got future Norris won a Ristolainen behind, so I don't really see the need for trading for Taylor Hall. And then eventually it was like, you know, the kind of trade you make that, like, you could destroy another team in a trade. That was the idea. You know, the kind of, you know, you overvalue this guy. He's not as good as you would think. That kind of trade. And then this year, I think it was like, if you trade Bristol Line for a second, do it. Yeah. And let Borgen go. Like, you know, that's just became a very calculated thing instead of like a huge opportunity. But it turns out it was still a huge opportunity in a way I can't even imagine. They got a first round pick, a second round pick, a defenseman who seems to be almost as good as Bristow. And he has 1 year left in his deal and they didn't retain any salary. It just almost like it's too good to be true.
I was like laughing uncontrollably after it happened, like a crazy person. Like I just kept smiling and was just, I was too giddy. I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. I started laughing too. And it wasn't like a good, like my normal hearty laugh. It was like the Joker. And I mean, Joker 2019 Joker, just like the, that kind of laugh, like horrible laughter. Like who would laugh like that? I would. Rasmus Ristolainen fetches a 13th overall pick. Brendan, Paul Gosse got to the deadline. That was like the standard bearer of, I can't believe it, we got this much for this guy. Paul Gosse was a good fourth liner, could play defense as a forward. You know what he was. You put him in matchups. He's a checking center. They paid too much and they give up too much, but that's what their identity was. What is your identity if you're giving up that much for Risto? Your identity is you're a stupid goddamn team.
Yeah.
Your identity is.
I mean, and not even that, Taylor, not only the 13th overall pick, a second rounder. And on top of that, a third pairing defenseman who pretty much is going to give you the exact same metrics that Ristolainen would, but at a third pairing rate. So you're saving about $4 million in cap space. You are acquiring a top 15 pick, a second rounder 2 years from now, and a guy that's going to pretty much give you what you were getting in Ristolainen, but in a more limited capacity and for less money. I mean, how could you have done better on this trade? Maybe the only way I could think of that is if you did it 2 years ago for Nikolaj Ehlers, but this was a slam dunk trade for Kevin Adams.
Yeah. I would like to point that out. That was something that a trade that we brought up in a multiple times, something that came up in the Buffalo 2 episode. Buffalo 2, they're really excited about Ehlers. That's the trade you want to make. The trade you want to make is a good established NHL player. I mean, this trade that they got is unbelievable, but I, you know, just to even everything out and just not get too excited about things. A good trade is when you trade someone for a good NHL player, which they couldn't have. I mean, this is a good trade for what it is, but
mm-hmm.
I think you and I are on the same page here. We don't get too excited about prospects anymore. I will not do that.
It's hard to. It's really hard to. I mean, and also for what it's worth, I think that they have a tendency of picking prospects who are not the ones that I would be excited about when exciting ones are on the table, if that makes sense. You know, like taking, who was it? Ryan Johnson over like Arthur Kylev or Matisse Samson over Bobby Brink, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would get me excited a little bit, but...
Right.
Did some exciting things in the draft this time around, though, for what it's worth.
I know this is supposed to be a transition, but I want to do a thing real quick.
Yes.
I just think that, so, Brendan, you're 27.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28. Rasmus Ristolainen has been with us for roughly a third of our lives, which is crazy to say.
Jesus.
Sabres took him together. Eighth overall in 20th. We did. We grew up together. It's funny because he got tall like you, but he got jacked like neither of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's, but you know, he's an idiot like both of us.
Yep.
So in 20, go ahead.
Did you see that tweet today that somebody had that was like, farewell Rasmus Ristolainen? And I'll always remember that time at Rec Room. I walked by you and said, go Sabres. And he said, no, we suck. Go Bills.
Wow.
Amazing.
Listen, we respect it. Self-awareness. Well, before I get to that point, I guess I could say this. I saw Rasmus along with Johan Larsson and Sam Reinhart, three former Sabres now, which is sad to say, at Tempo in 2018. And Ristolainen was wearing sweatpants. And I don't know if anyone listen, the Buckets have been the Tempo. Tempo is a very nice and expensive steakhouse. And Rich Stallone just sitting there in a Under Armour t-shirt and sweatpants, just eating a $50 steak.
Good King for him. Stuff.
Yeah. But I would like to say, this is not a nice thing, it's just like a reminder, you know, or just maybe a retrospective. When the Sabres got bad. Can you remember that when they weren't bad? In 2012, they traded for first round pick for Gostad, all this shit. But in 2012, I think we thought like, hey, maybe they could turn us around. You know, like, we weren't trying to do a rebuild. They tried to do a rebuild in the summer of 2013. And the first draft pick they took at that time, which is a Darcy Regier draft pick. If you remember that fella, Darcy Regier.
Sadly.
It was Ristolainen. And then a few, like 45 minutes later, they took Zadorov. But it's like, okay, this is the beginning of their defense. These are the two anchors of their defense of the future, Ristolainen and Zadorov. And obviously that wasn't the case, but there was a time when it was really exciting. Ristolainen, I believe, scored the Ingle World Juniors, and then he was the best prospect. When they were terrible in 13-14, we were hoping they would get Reinhardt. We were hoping that the first overall pick, which people thought was going to be Reinhardt at the time. Another guy we'll talk about in a second. But Ristolainen was like, he played like 35 games that year. He was in the AHL and the NHL, and it was like, this is the guy people were excited about. We were all excited about it. And then he was obviously up for all of the terrible, terrible tank season, where we all had a lot of fun. He played with Tyson Shrakan and Zadorov and a bunch of other losers who will never be in the NHL again. And this isn't any kind of defense of him, but it was just like, there was a time when he was like the guy, when we were thinking about Eichel, when we were thinking about Reinhardt, when Reinhardt was playing in juniors, he was the guy. He was the guy we were all like, this is the guy we can watch. This is the guy that's on the team right now in 2014-15. He's the guy that, he's not the guy. Eichel was the guy, even though we didn't have him yet. Eichel or McDavid, and we all excited about Reinhardt, all of this stuff. But he was right there. It's hard to remember that now. It just feels like so many things when you're a Sabres fan, you know, turn to ashes in your mouth. That's kind of the vibe of the Sabres. But I wanted Risto to be good. I wanted to be good so bad. Maybe you were on this train too. Like in 2016-17, that era, I defended him so much on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
From people who were right, but right for the wrong. Not, I didn't even say right for the wrong reason. Right, but they couldn't tell me why they were right, so they're bad at convincing me that.
Yep.
Why Risto was bad. All I wanted, because he really is. He's such a son of a bitch. Like,
dude, 2014-15, around that era, I remember, like, in college, I had a buddy who was a Bruins fan, and I would relentlessly be like, Ristolainen is going to be a top 10 defenseman in the league. Like, just you wait, asshole.
Yeah.
And we all believed it. He showed a lot of early progress, not progress, but like just early promise is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy just how his standing like just changed. I mean, I remember just hearing about how well he was doing in Rochester too, initially, like after he was drafted, and then he comes up and you start to see some of the physicality, you know, his first couple of years. We were actually just talking about this with Isha, who he is the head of the Hockey Podcast Network for a YouTube clip that's going to be coming out. But, you know, he was a 40 point guy, pretty much like a 40 point defenseman, which, yeah, he had a lot of his faults, but still he was putting up points, and then those went away, and then just everything kind of went away, and he just became an analytics nightmare. So he really had a bit of a fall off is probably putting it lightly.
Yeah, so he was never good, obviously. But the one thing I remember is just like, I like people that, you know, have a little personality. I like my players, my favorite players to have that kind of deal. And I think like he was good at like after the whistle, like I'm bigger than you, what are you gonna do about it? Like shoving a guy, laughing in his face. That's the kind of stuff I want. It's just I don't want that in the midst of a 4-1 loss where you were on the ice for two goals against, and one of them was directly your fault. Like, it seems too obvious to say, just like, be good, but he just was really bad.
He was supposed
in a stunning way. Sometimes he got to a point where, like, anytime there was a goal, you might have thought he was the reason the goal happened.
Oh, easily. And his whole persona, kind of like going off of what you're saying there, was meant to be one of those guys that just sucked to play against, who would just be a pest out there. And on good teams, those guys stand out. Pretty much every other fan base besides like the one that the player plays in hates the player. But you always know, like, oh, God, if we had that kind of guy on our team, we'd love them. But he had the double whammy of one, just not being on a good team. So his whole pesty shtick was irrelevant in the first place, but also he just wasn't good enough to be one of those kind of guys.
Absolutely. A lot of people are wondering, like, why being negative after this really good trade and everything that's happened. I just think that it's, you can count on us to be really excited when there's something to be excited for. I think you can.
And we are. But this is an honest conversation about his standing and tenure with the team throughout his career here. I mean, he was here for so long.
8 years, 542 games.
Crazy.
It's not even the emotional investment of the Sabres. It's just like you can lie about it. You can be too excited. You can try to tell yourself that you're swimming in a lake of gold, but buddy, we're all swimming in the same pool of piss for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And until it's really clear that there's a ladder out of here, we're all in the same pool of piss. And I think we just try to make sense of it. But yeah, when it comes to Risto, I'm ecstatic about the return. And I can't help but, you know, like I said, almost a third of our lives. There's no goddamn return in the world that's worth that frustration.
No, for sure. Well, speaking of pools of piss, do we want to talk about the other trade that happened this weekend before we get into the draft?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not going to lie. This one, it hurt about as bad as I thought it would. Sam Reinhart has been traded to the Florida Panthers, and I gotta tell you, the return's not great considering Rasmus Ristolainen netted more than Reinhart did. He was traded to the Florida Panthers on Saturday for goalie prospect Devin Levy, who was a 7th-round pick, and a conditional top 10 protected first-round draft pick in the 2022 draft. So if the Panthers bottom out next season and get a top 10 pick, then the Sabres draft pick, first round pick, will then move to the 2023 NHL draft, at which point there will be no protections on the pick at all. So if Florida, for whatever reason, has bad 2 years in a row, then in 2023, we would get their pick no matter where it is. Not seeming likely because Florida is a pretty good team and they're just about to get a really, really damn good second line center too. I got to tell you, you know, we had kind of talked about this really over the past month or two, just with how both the Reinhart trade and the Eichel trade were going to hurt. Because with Ristolainen, it was going to be no matter what. Just it was going to be addition by subtraction. Just getting rid of that guy was going to be a good thing. But Eichel and Reinhart, it's hard to say that you wanted to move either of them. I would say probably Reinhart even more so. Eichel, you had reached a point where it was inevitable that this relationship wasn't going to work out. And this year really was the nail in the coffin. But as we had learned this weekend from Sam Reinhart's comments, it didn't have to get to this point, which is, I think, what hurts so much about this. And I've been trying to think about it over the past couple of days, really, since the trade had broke, and just trying to kind of wrap my head around everything. His comments were essentially that he wanted to be in Buffalo and that it was last season the Sabres giving him another 1 year deal after bridging him that pretty much solidified in his mind that he was done. But he wanted to be here. He wanted to be a part of the team long term and was confused as to why both Jason Botterill and then eventually Kevin Adams wouldn't want to commit to him either long term. And, you know, it kills me because one of the things that, you know, you and I talk about a good amount here, you know, a lot of the smart hockey people I see talk about too, is locking up guys when they're younger for longer term and making smart bets on them panning out and being able to maximize an early contract coming out of an ELC. And Reinhart absolutely should have been that kind of a player. He was a perennial 20-goal scorer. he seemingly was improving every year. He, of course, had that one slow start, which I believe was what, Taylor, 2018, I think. And then he
2017-18.
Yeah. And then he turns it on in 2018 after the Winter Classic and just goes on a tear. And from there, he was a completely different player. And, you know, both times that he was given these short contracts, fans were very vocal about not being happy about it. I mean, the 2-year deal initially, that was pretty bad. To put it this way, there's no shortage of blame that should go to Jason Botterill for this happening now, but also Kevin Adams is absolutely not blameless either, because last offseason, Reinhart should have been locked up for at least a 5 or 6 year deal, at least. Choosing to give him a 1-year contract and kicking that, you know, deal down the curb a little bit ended up killing them, because not only did it lead to this eventual, you know, divorce between the two of them, but also it ends up hurting the value that you get for him too. Even if you wanted to still trade Reinhart after all of the events of the past year, you still wanted to trade him, having that additional term and a better contract with him would have netted them more of a return than a conditional first round pick or a top 10 protected first round pick and a goalie prospect. I mean, this is so disappointing. And on top of that, just on a personal note too, I mean, Sam has probably been my favorite Buffalo Sabre. I've said that on the show many times over the past 2 years, that Sam is probably, well, was sad, but my favorite Sabre. I mean, he just seeing how he improved and the ways that he impacted the game in both ends of the ice as an incredible offensive contributor who had some of the best vision and passing ability that we had seen in recent years on the Sabres, and the responsibility that he showed in his own zone and being able to break out and get the puck out of his own end. He did so many little things that made so many of the players around him so much better. You know, players play at their best when they're with Sam. And that goes from everybody, from guys in the bottom six who would get moved up to play with him all the way up to Jack Eichel. And so this really sucks, because with Jack, this is inevitable, but this did not have to happen with Sam. And with where the Sabres are headed right now, they would have been in such a good spot to have Reinhart be the new face of the team right now, give him the captaincy as you're about to move on from Jack and trade him, and at least have somebody to play that first line center role for you. That's going to be so critical now, as a lot of responsibility is going to be placed on Dylan Cousins' shoulders. So I'm extremely bummed out. And I would even go as far to say that I am more upset about losing Reinhart than I am excited about losing Ristolainen.
Well, obviously, sure. Yeah. That takes care of itself. I think something to keep in mind here is that the most important thing that happened with Reinhart as a Sabre was the 2017-18 season and Botchel signing him to a bridge deal after that. I think that even though he wasn't in a great spot at the time, in hindsight, it's 2020, I think there's a big lesson to be learned there. I think at the time, a lot of people, like I wasn't upset that he got a bridge deal. It made sense to me at the time, but I think if you're a GM, you have to start thinking about what a bridge deal means in a league where you can become a UFA after a certain amount of years.
Yep.
What does that mean to the team? What does it mean for the player? And I think in hindsight, it's obvious that he should have got a long-term deal. Now, let's not do hindsight 2020 thing. This is not, I'm not really even changing the point here, but I have to say this. Knowing what you know now, don't the Sabres extent give most importantly, Dahlin an 8-year deal this offseason?
I mean, I would think, even if you don't go with, I think they would probably want to do 8, but 7 something. I mean, it makes no sense to do this again. Learn from your mistakes.
You see the parallels, right?
Oh, of course. It's clear as day. Absolutely. And again, if you're in a Dahlin where you're going to do that, I mean, if you giving him longer term too helps you maybe bring down the AAV, that's even better. And, you know, it makes maybe even trading him down the road easier too, if it ever comes to that, because we're just destined for failure and sadness in this godforsaken franchise. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it this way, that the reason they were in such a good place with Ristolainen is that he had such a bad time that first half of that year when he was going through it in multiple ways. And then the fact that he had such a almost point per game pace in the second half of the year, it was just like, it was just, well, no one else is going to give you $1 billion. You're an RFA. You're our property. You'll sign eight for 48. And he would have. Mm-hmm. And when you sign someone, Reinhart would be 22 at that time. When you sign someone at that point, you're buying all of their useful UFA years, which you would have done. And instead of that, he's going to become a UFA in his mid to late 20s, I should say, and get a lot of money. But now I'm looking at it, and I want to be proactive now. Dahlin had a not great start to last year. A lot of what happened with Dahlin, I think we both think, has to do with Kruger. Kruger's gone, so you're in a great spot right now. Dahlin, 8 years, $48 million, $50 million. You do that right now. Maybe Dahlin turns it down, but that's the thing with hockey players. They don't turn down long-term deals very often.
You think he would really turn down like a $7 million deal a year?
He shouldn't. I mean, like, it just – He doesn't have arbitration. Well, he does have arbitration rights now, but he doesn't have like UFA rights for so many years that it's just like, you just give him eight years. Like, you're barely buying any of the UFA years after that. You're buying three of them at least, but like, yeah. Sorry, four of them actually, but he's getting paid a lot, and he has to look at himself and go, I mean, maybe I'm not that guy. Maybe I'm not the best player. Maybe I should just take this deal while it's here. I think most guys think like that. Good. I got a long-term deal. I got an opportunity to be here for a while. I got guarantees, you know, guarantees. $7 million a year or somewhere around there. That's a huge guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll see how quickly that happens too. It could happen pretty much right after an Eichel deal happens, for what it's worth also. Quickly on that too, Elliot Friedman actually about a few minutes ago, late this evening on Sunday, just released a new blog with some updates regarding Jack Eichel. He's actually the lead. Kevin Adams on Saturday night had said that he would have no problem if Eichel is on our team to start at training camp. And Elliot Friedman reached out to Eichel's reps. Unsurprisingly, they had said that our expectation is that Jack is going to be traded in the near future, and all of our discussions have been centered around that issue. So Eichel is currently skating, but it definitely doesn't surprise me at all that they're still holding steady on that. I have to think, you know, Adams has said that he's talking to Eichel's agent every day pretty much at this point. So nothing really surprising on that front. And I would think that it's possible that that even happens, you know, potentially this week. Who knows? But Friedman goes on to say that his guesses right now are some combination of Anaheim, Calgary, Minnesota, and others he's probably missing. Direct quote from him. So we will see too on the Eichel front. Do we want to get into the NHL draft now, Taylor?
Yeah, I'll just say before we move away from this that Sam Reinhart as a Saber, it's hard to know where he fits in here. He's a second overall pick. He kind of, as we said in a quiz a little while ago, like he is basically your average second overall pick, maybe a little bit below average in terms of point production, but he's a very good player. And there are people, there have always been people that don't appreciate him enough because, you know, not a very physical guy. A lot of what he does is subtly good. And obviously he was never on a good Sabres team. He was not anything in approaching a good Sabres team. I will say that what I want to hear is if there's anything out there, if anyone, listen, anyone who's in the media right now, I know you're not listening, but if you were, let's hear something real. If you have something about how he's a bad leader, a bad locker room guy, did something wrong, anything like that, report it. If he's rude to you, you know who gives a shit? Not the people in this podcast or the rest of the people in the entire fucking world. I thought we were done with this shit in the early 2000s, that this guy was mean to me shit. No one cares. No one. I went to school for journalism. I wanted to be I was a sports writer. I mean, mostly high school stuff, but sure. I wanted to be a guy that covered pro sports teams. The market didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Sure. I never, never would have been this guy's mean to me and this is everyone else's problem. It's your problem. And it's barely your problem. Barely. If you're lazy, then it's a huge problem for you. If your whole job is relying on quotes, then you suck at your job.
Get better at your job. Yep.
There are 10 people that are getting the same quote as you. You work at the biggest market. Well, not market. More like you have your employer is such that you get the most eyeballs in your story. That's not you being good at your job. So if you think Sam Reinhart has a bad attitude, you think Sam Reinhart's lazy, you think Sam Reinhart is mean or dumb or a bad leader or whatever else, I want two things. One of two things. Report that or just come out and say you think he's a fucking prick. Say that. Say that. And see how dumb you sound.
Either way. Point.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, I think the other way it makes sense. Like, you have something I want to hear, or just be honest and say he was mean to you.
Yeah.
I think that was the whole thing with, you know, many years ago, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was mean to reporters. I was moderately interested in that with how insanely rude Barry Bonds was. I think I'm better for knowing all those stories. Barry Bonds, he's the best hitter in baseball history, and he's a weirdly insane prick. What is Sam Reinhart? Help me understand. Do it. I mean, seriously, what is it? What's his problem? He cut off your questions? He thought your questions were dumb?
Get better questions. But even beyond that, though, it's just the fact of the matter is that it's one thing of, and I know this is exactly the point you're making, but it's one thing to report on a player that if you do think that there are legitimate attitude issues there, but in the cases that we're talking about here, and two names, of course, come to mind right off the bat, and I think we all know who we're talking about, but it's just so
that's
obvious,
right?
The personal
that's right.
Vendetta.
And Chad DeDomenicus and Anthony.
Chad and Anthony, you're right. Them and their their agenda against
Sam Reinhart. Their ivory tower.
It's ridiculous. It's getting to their heads. No, but the thing is,
we're coming for them. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's clear as day the personal vendetta that was put out there, and it wasn't reporting that was being done in good faith. It was like you said, oh, boo-hoo, this person was mean to me because I asked them a leading question that tried to make them look bad and they caught me on it. So I'm going to be mad about that and, you know, try and make them seem worse than they actually are. I mean, isn't that pretty much it to a T?
That's mostly it, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Sam Reinhart, we will miss you. Don't know when I'm going to get over this trade. I'm not going to lie, because I'm definitely not over it right now.
It's not to get sad real quick, but Vanek got traded 2013. And I remember I was at the Bonaventure. I was laying out our basketball supplement, and I was really sad when he got traded. I almost cried. And I just remember thinking, like, I wish one of these guys that was on this Sabres team from like 2008 to 2012, 13, could have been around for just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been around for what's coming next, which I assumed was success, which is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I just wish we could have had one of them. They only lost in the playoffs. I wish we could have had more winning, because they were mostly like ancillary pieces in the 05 to 07 era. And now it's like, Sam Reinhart, Eichel, Ristolainen, they didn't play anything approaching an important game. So,
nope. Pretty much after like February 15th.
Yeah.
Well,
So we're going to talk about the draft here, I think.
It was pretty good. The draft, I think, all in all, I mean, it didn't happen as we would have liked to at the top. Owen Power was selected first overall, pretty unsurprisingly, as we had said. Both you and I were of the belief that they should have went with either Matt Beniers or William Eklund, who really fell all the way to San Jose, as a matter of fact. But Beniers ended up going 2 overall, Mason McTavish 3. And again, Owen Power taking first overall. So, Taylor, what was your reaction to the pick?
Well, Owen Power, I no surprise, but I will say that I'll shout out someone very important that you might have seen when you're watching the draft. Owen Power's grandma.
True.
Who could not have been more excited for her grandson. She was going off. I was just watching her. She was so happy. And I was really happy for her. I pretty much accepted
that.
I hope so. I accepted pretty much that they're going to take power, so I didn't think that I never thought they're going to take Ekwonna Bruniers. Good for Seattle. I will say, I want to put this in audio format. One of my only few draft takes. I don't have draft takes. You know that, obviously. I don't do draft takes for a lot of reasons in the NHL draft, mostly because I don't know what I'm talking about. But hey, it doesn't stop me the rest of the time on the podcast. Am I right? So 2 years ago, I said I thought it would be – it's going to seem dumb someday that Cole Caulfield just fell to 15.
Yeah.
And so far, so good on that take. I'm going to just run that take back for Eklund.
Oh, that it's going to be ridiculous that he fell that far?
He's just going to be like, oh, wow, Eklund went seventh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Major Elias Pettersson vibes.
Yeah. Caulfield going 15th is...
15 is insane.
Yeah. People thought the Sabres might take him.
I know. It was a very real possibility.
It was... I remember that it was like, oh, Cousins or Caulfield. And I was like, Cousins. And then it was like, okay. Okay. And then it was just like another hour before Caulfield got drafted. It's crazy. But that's my thought on Eklund. As far as power goes, you know, I want to see. I want to give him a chance. I want to see him. I'm not going to pretend to know him as a prospect. And this has been such a weird past year that I think it's tough to know anyone as a prospect. It's your draft year being so strange. But if he goes back to Michigan, I'm actually going to be fascinated to watch what that team's like with four top five picks. I mean,
crazy.
I'm not a college hockey guy, but shouldn't that be like the best team ever?
Yeah, pretty much. You would think.
Yeah. I know they had a COVID outbreak this past season, but.
Well, and I think, you know, Power had seemed like for a lot of boards, he was the number one player. He seemed like on top of that, he was maybe the safest pick. But one of the things that I really liked about the rest of the Sabres draft is something that they have done very differently than in past drafts. This year around, they went for seemingly skill and potential rather than making the safe bet.
I love it.
Yeah, thank God. So moving on then off of Power. At number 14, technically the 13th player taken, the Sabres took winger Isaac Rosen. So he recently had started playing at the pro level, but he hasn't really had a chance to step in into a, you know, more marquee role there. He's been playing in a bottom six role. However, he had a great U18 Worlds, and that's kind of where he really started to make his mark as a top prospect, as a, you know, somebody that maybe, you know, on some boards taking him at 14 was a little high, but for other people I've seen, right, that I trust have had him at, that's a pretty appropriate spot. He is very fast. He has a lot of speed and he's got seemingly pretty high end skill and scoring ability. So pretty exciting stuff that they added a pretty talented scoring winger, but now they are also faced with some holes at center, but it didn't really end there. They actually, on top of taking Rosen, some other surprises too. After not taking a Russian player for the last 5 years, they took four of them in this draft, and some guys with a lot of potential and a lot of skill.
That's so dumb.
Isn't it crazy?
That's so dumb. Jason Botchel and Tim Murray should be in prison.
I agree. I agree.
Absolute morons. They're taking a Russian guy for years. I don't know about you. It just so happens to me. It just so happens. I just think it's pretty crazy that you would not take a single person from probably what, the third biggest hockey country in the world. That seems crazy to me. Now, Brendan, real quick, what do you think of the whole thing where the Coyotes lost their pick because of breaking the rules with scouting? Some people think it's dumb or confusing or moronic that they just still counted that as a pick and then just skipped over to the draft instead of just moving everyone up and slapping them out of the first round. But I actually think it's good and smart. What do you think?
Why do you think that? I'm curious.
Why do I think it's good?
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say.
I think it's good that the Sabres took the 13th overall pick with the 14th pick. And no one will be confused by that. And it stayed in place for a good reason.
It makes no sense. That's why I was want to know. I was like, okay, tell me why before I tell you how wrong you are.
that's the NHL, baby.
You don't have your camera on, so I can't get a sense of your facial expressions to see if you're being
never good shit. No, I'm a great liar, so I think I've gotten you either way. So.
Oh yes.
I don't have my camera on. My camera broke, I think.
Well, we'll figure that out. But I guess generally speaking, though, like otherwise, though, I know we talked about Power there, but how did you feel about their draft generally?
You know, I as a non-prospect guy, I'm a big fan of taking small guys who scored a lot at whatever their level was before the draft. That's my main thing after the first round. And it seems like they did a little bit of that. It seems like they look like very skilled guys, and I really want skilled guys. That's I think that's it's too obvious what they're missing, but like the Sabres have really borked up the draft for basically an entire generation, like well before they were actually bad. And it's hard to say what you should do in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. However, if you just do that easy strategy of just who scored a lot in the most recent level, it's not a bad strategy after the first round.
No, it's really not. And I mean, also too, you know, as we kind of got into like the second round there, they had 2 second round picks, Prokhor Poltepov, and then Alexander Kisikov. And those
he better be good, bud. That's a Taylor Hall pick, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually the Kisikov guy, reading some of his profiles, I was actually pretty excited about him. He was one of the top scorers at the Russian junior level. I think he was putting up last season, he scored at over a point per game pace. So yeah, 73 points in 61 games. And his league won the league title last year, which is pretty impressive. And the thing that I love too, and I think I really would consider just this just more like, you know, mild PTSD from Alex Nylander. But the one profile that I was reading of his from Corey Pronman said pretty much his quote was that he will endear himself to coaches with his effort to go with his skill. He projects as a bottom six NHL winger, but he projects to play at a higher level because of how hard he works. So that's pretty nice then. A guy who puts up points and is a hard worker, if you can get that out of somebody and that is what takes their game over the top to the next level, then that's what I like to see.
I think you project is a top six podcaster.
Wow, thanks. I appreciate
it. I mean, you have a problem with your work ethic, but I think you can get over it with your talent.
I hope so. I like to just lean on the talent and really just let the work ethic figure itself out.
Same.
Look at that.
I mean, I don't have talent, but.
So Taylor, let me ask you this then. Do you think a Jack Eichel trade happens before our next episode on Thursday?
No, I think I'm going to be in a morgue by the time that happens.
When do you think it happens?
Tomorrow.
So you do think it'll happen before a Thursday
episode? Yeah, but I will be dead, but it will happen.
Oh, so you do. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. I do not think it will happen by the next episode, though. It seems like they're wisely waiting for the right deal. I think it gets done this summer. This summer's a long time. It's July 25th as we're talking. You're listening to this on July 26th. The season isn't starting until mid to late October. I don't know if you saw the schedule when it came out, but mm-hmm. It's starting later than normal. The season's starting about 2 weeks late. So we got more than 2 months. We got about 10 weeks before the season starts. So...
Yep, and free agency.
20 more episodes.
Well, free agency starts on, I think, Wednesday, I believe. I think that's the 28th, but July 28th is when free agency starts, so that even could have a bearing on it as well. So we will see. But, Taylor, before we sign off, do you have any last thoughts to share?
Oh, man. Not really. You know what? I have a recommendation. Do you have a recommendation?
No, I have a random Sabres player.
Okay, let's go. We'll do one each. So I had a predicament. Not a predicament. It was more like an ordeal. An ordeal. That's the way I want to put it.
Okay.
It's an ordeal. Thursday night, I went to the 10:30 showing at the Walton Gallery of a movie called Pig. I was very excited to go see it. I knew nothing about it. I heard some good things, though. I heard some vague good things, like this movie is great. But I couldn't tell what kind of great. You know what I mean? People I trust, but it's like, what is great? Is great like a fun great? Mm-hmm. Is great like a surprising great? Or is it like great, great?
Very subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective, but it's almost like, what do you mean by great? Which is a weird thing to say. Not trying to unpack that. However, I read the description on IMDb, and it was like, this guy is a truffle farmer, and his prize pig gets kidnapped, and he goes to get it back. And I was like, well, I'm in. That sounds great. I couldn't tell what kind of great that was even at that point. So I go to see the movie. And funny enough, like 10 seconds in, I was like, oh, my God. Main character is Nick Cage. Didn't even know. Had no idea. Nicolas Cage, who I think if you were like us, like mind of Brendan's age, you might have a different idea of him. Nicolas Cage, one of the best actors, one of the finest actors that's living today in the English language. He's an incredible actor. He did a lot of bad movies because he needs money for all his weird hobbies, but I think he's great. Anyway, so I see that, super excited. Half hour in, the lights start flashing. I'm like, what kind of movie is this? Well, that was actually the fire alarm lights. And the screen went blank.
Oh, my God.
And this sound goes on the speaker. Now, again, it's 10:30 showing on a Thursday at Walden Galleria. There are three guys in the movie theaters. Three guys. We all have beards. We're all separate. And
we all have beards. That's a key detail.
Yeah, we're all – I don't know how to put this nicely. We're all, like, overweight guys between, like, 25 and 35 with beards. Just like
– God.
We all came out here for a reason, right? We all came to the movies alone for a good reason. So we all walk outside, and there's a lot of other movies going on there. Like Snake Eyes came out this week, so there's like that. People are seeing Escape Room. There's a few movies going on. Someone in one of the other theaters, it turns out, just lit a cigarette or weed or something. But it lit a live joint / cigarette in the theater and obviously set the fire alarm off. You're in a public place. That's what fire alarms are for.
Idiotic.
Yeah. Just do it before the movie. Come on. So we're waiting outside forever, and it's like a half hour, like I said, into the movie. So it's after 11, and then it takes an entire half hour before the fire department gets there. And they kind of come in and close it out, and they're like, yeah, someone had a cigarette. But they're like, you guys can go back in. Everyone had already rushed back in, even before the fire department got there, to try to get refunds. So I walk in to go to the usher, and I was like, hey, you're showing this movie, right? And the guy goes, I don't think we're showing anything else tonight. He's like, you can get a refund. And I was like, I have Regal Unlimited, so I didn't need a refund, right? So long story short, way longer than it needed to be. I go back the next day and finish the movie. I showed up a half hour later. I've never done that for a movie before, but I was like, well, I saw the first half hour. I could be late. I watched it, and I got to tell everyone who's listening still to the end of the story, this end of this long podcast in late July, talking about the Sabres. If you're here, you deserve to hear this. Pig is one of the best movies of the year. It's the best movie I've seen so far in 2021. That movie kicked ass.
Wow.
I loved it. It was fantastic. Everyone should see it. In fact, you should see it in theaters. To anyone listening, see it in theaters. Make sure it makes that kind of money. I know you're thinking, like, I could watch it at home a month from now. You can do anything at home.
This is true. This is true. Wow, that's interesting. I'm surprised. Like you said, I didn't know.
You're surprised, but I'm surprised.
Well, I didn't know if it was going to be one of those Nick Cage movies that you were talking about that are pretty bad.
Yeah, but those, you know about those ones.
Well, yeah.
Because that's the whole point of him being in it, is like, you know about Ghost Rider, and you'll see it. It makes money, and then he can pay for, like, whatever. He bought his 45th Elvis guitar.
There you go. Fair enough. We all need to buy our 45th Elvis guitar.
I'm only on 43. I'm stuck.
Really? You got to catch up, man. Damn. I actually have a recommendation, too, now that I think about it. The new Vince Staples album. You all should listen to it. Taylor, did you listen to it by chance?
No. I know you told me to, but I didn't get around to it.
Amazing rap album. You should definitely check it out. I highly, highly recommend it.
He's a funny guy.
He is hilarious. Great sense of humor. He's awesome. He's just a really, really funny, cool dude on top of being an amazing artist. You know who my random Sabres player of the episode is?
Who?
Sam Reinhart.
Mine's Rasmus Ristolainen.
Wow.
R.I.P.
Lots of emotions. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. This episode is also brought to you by DraftKings. Make sure you're using the promo code THPN at checkout to take advantage of great deals. Once again, that's promo code THPN. Make sure you're checking out the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics on their respective websites, along with the streaming platforms of which you are listening to this podcast on, to check out the other great content that they're putting out. We'll be back with another new episode on Thursday. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been another episode of Straight Up Sabres.